Could you explain a little bit more about exactly what ERCC1 is and how it correlates with a clinical course?
Sure. So ERCC1 is one of a couple of what are called the NER or nucleotide excision repair genes. And they are just that. These are genes that basically we all have. And actually, the more full complement of these that you have, the better you will do on this hostile planet called Earth in what is called life. Meaning, you know, we're constantly exposed to carcinogenic events, whether, of course, not you, Neil, in beautiful Florida where there's sun shining every day. But no, the point is there, the ionizing radiation and skin damage, melanoma, all this stuff, or the ballpark Frank's nitrosamines, whatever it is, the carcinogen exposure, right, induces DNA damage, okay? Not to mention smoking, right, the 100-pack years of Lucky Strikes or whatever. But, you know, how is it that in good faith tobacco executives can say, well, you know, I'm sorry, you know, cigarette smoking doesn't cause cancer because look, here's your 90-year-old grandmother. She smoked all her life. He or she doesn't have cancer. And that's true. They don't have lung cancer. They have every gene promoter in their bronchial epithelium is fully methylated, ready to go. But they don't have cancer because they have high levels of repair genes. So as DNA damage occurs, they can splice it out, repair it, and prevent major ongoing genomic clones to get out of control. But in patients who have lower levels of repair genes, they're more susceptible to cancer. But what it really means is now that we know these, and again, we know the smallest amount of any of this stuff. That's, you know, the tragedy of our knowledge is rapidly changing, but is still nascent. But what we do know is that this gene, ERCC1, which is excision repair gene, right, for cisplatinum, hence the C, if you have high levels of this gene, the DNA damage caused by cisplatinum, the adduct cause that trips up DNA synthesis and makes the little polymerase chugging down the DNA stop, and then you can't make a copy, and then the cell has to commit suicide, apoptotic death, and that's how chemotherapy works. If you have a gene or the protein coded for by the gene, that is, that can repair that, cut it out, splice in the right nucleotide, and then everything is good, and then the polymerase goes on its way and the daughter cell is made and the cell survives, right? Then the higher you have of that repair gene, it means the DNA damage caused by the same dose of cisplatinum is going to have less benefit because it will get repaired faster. Now, that's a kind of interesting concept. And you say, well, you know, maybe in a mouse, but I don't believe that. Well, believe it, because we've now shown it in a couple of prospective experiences that Rosell and others have done, and even David Gandera and the SWOG collaboration through the GILT Genomic International Lung Trial a couple of years ago. And then now most recently through the investigators through YALT that took those early stage tumors, right? They looked at the tumor because they had the tumor. It was an adjuvant setting. And they measured ERCC1 expression. And they said, did the expression level of this repair gene correlate with the benefit or lack thereof of the chemotherapy, which is all a platinum doublet? And the answer is yes. So the higher the gene, the protein that could repair the damage, guess what? The less the benefit of the chemotherapy. And in fairness, that 4% benefit in the patients with high ERCC1 was totally mitigated and lost. In fact, those patients did worse compared to patients on control arm. And the flip side is the patients who had low ERCC1 levels or none that was detectable, the magnitude of their survival benefit from adjuvant platinum was double to triple what we saw in the unselected patients.
Do we know what fraction of patients have ERCC1 positive or negative?
Well, the thing is most patients do have it, and then it becomes a little bit tricky as to what the cutoffs are. And that's what needs to kind of get standardized. And is it an all or none phenomenon, or is it just, you know, a selective scale value? And I think it's more the latter, a selective scale value.
So right now, is this something that you think is sort of ready for prime time?
I think it's pretty close to ready for prime time, or at least it's ready enough for prime time for people to think about it, probably order the test and factor it in. And I think what sometimes confuses me is like, you know, in the breast community, like you say, it's a no-brainer. The patient's tumors get analyzed for 3 biomarkers, and that's how it's done. And granted, you have therapies that are predicated on that information, so that makes sense. But I think the more we know about our patients' tumors, and given how poorly, for the most part, they do, any benefit, the one eye leading the blind, has to be better than business as usual.